I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
G'day, welcome to Supercoach 360. How you doing? It is your boy, Juzzy J. Thank you for joining us in the coach's box again this week to talk all things NRL Supercoach. We have got a massive show coming up as usual. I've noticed I use the word massive a lot in all of our descriptions lately, so we're going to try and curb that. But anyway, it's going to be a huge night. It really is, though. We do have a bit to talk about. It's that time in the preseason. We've got a little bit of footy. We've got, we saw Reggie's and trials on the weekend. We've got a couple of games coming up this weekend, more trials. But we're going to hopefully start seeing closer and closer to first grade sides.
How good is it? So good. Footy back.
It's great. It is. It's great to have footy back. I mean, mind you, not without it's... mate, what is the word here?
Spit it out, Junior.
But yeah, I know, right? But not without its incidents. Massive weekend. I mean, Hayes Dunster, cheapie that everyone was looking at. Gaunt, shot knee, 12 months, 14 months.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's huge, man. Tyrell Fuimaono, who, pretty juicy cheapie, really, still this year, especially if he could lock down a starting spot, but, possibly facing a 5 to 7 week suspension.
He's accepted 5, I think. I think he was very harsh done by. I would have thought that. I don't think he deliberately did that, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's it. Look, I'm not sure, but, I mean, that was the one thing that we could probably glean out of the trials this weekend. If nothing else, how the game is possibly going to be adjudicated this year, how the game is going to be, how the umpires are going to call it. We saw they're not taking anything in terms of head high. Now, I said we'll put this to you before the show, and what did you say?
I think it'll cease. It'll ease up.
Yeah? What, you think they're just making an example during the trials?
They're trying to scare him through the trials with the safety net of if you send a player off, they can be replaced anyway in the trial, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but learn your lessons now as a team.
Hopefully.
All right.
Don't want to see magic around round one.
No, well, definitely not. Yeah. That's it, just mass suspensions. I mean, they've got to give him a few weeks to get used to it for sure. The other voice you were hearing tonight, of course, my faithful co-host, Con. How you doing, brother?
Good. Yourself?
Bergsy, you're in here as well.
What's going on?
Not much, buddy. Chilling. You're doing the... what are you doing there? You're putting together your draft side, are you?
I've done some shares, but yeah, I have gone to my draft side, my latest draft side.
Oh, we've got a few. You're starting to make them?
Yeah, I'm in four now, so I think I've only got one left.
I was talking draft classic side, but you're talking draft. But that's all right, because
I've got both easy accessible.
I was about to say, it's a drafty night, and we are talking both of those things. In fact, we're going to talk... what to do with the draft element of NRL Supercoach. And we're also going to take a look at our first drafts of our teams and just sort of start to play around with what ideas each of us are working with in terms of how we're going to build our team, obviously pending TLT. So in terms of draft, boys, have you guys well-seasoned in draft?
No, I'm pretty terrible at draft, to be honest. And I don't know if I've learnt much either over the last year of drafting, but we'll have a go. I don't mind having a go at it. It's a very different way of super coaching. You've got to look at so much more, if you know what I mean. It's everyone's on everyone. You can find out 1,000 things on three blokes in classic, whereas in draft, you've really got to look thin down a bit further where you are going to end up picking and choosing from blokes that you would much rather be getting 30s and 40s rather than 10s and 15s, you know what I mean? So draft is a different beast, and it's it's one that I think people, especially if you're a serious super coach, I think if you want to have some fun with your friends, and not everyone can have Turbo and not everyone can have Nafe, it's just a way to sort of break down your sort of skills on footy and what you sort of know about super coach, you know. Shows where you're at. I came dead last in most of my drafts last year, so shows where I'm at, and that's why I've got a list. Over here for you at home.
And what about you, Con? You done draft before?
Yeah, I've done it a bit. Success here and there. Yeah, it just depends really on where you fall in that order originally as to how it's going to dictate your season.
All right. Well, let's look at that then. Because if that's the first element you get for your draft, if that's one of the things that can factor into your season, what do you mean by that? Do you really need... Because there's the two types of draft, yeah? There's linear draft and snake draft, but most people are doing the snake draft, yeah?
Yeah.
So the snake draft is where you... So if you get pick one, you get then what? In a 12-man draft, you then get pick 24.
25, yeah.
25. All right.
It's got to go all the way up.
But then
the way
you get 25, 26.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Yeah, 24, 25, sorry.
There you go, maths, boys. All right, cool. So, yeah, and then obviously on the next one, you'd then be looking at... Oh, here we go. Being a smartass. Now, can you lay it down again? Pick 48 and 49. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Which, if you really do the math on that, it's getting thin.
But that's it. That's the first thing I noticed. I mean, I've done a couple of them in the last couple of years. And
the joys are, but you get Turbo or Cleary. Most of the time, people take Cleary.
But then who do you get as your second pick or your second third? Like, who are you realistically looking at once you've gotten through that top 25? You're looking at the last top-tier player, anyone maybe who's been missed?
The thing is with draft, especially if you're going to go into keeper leagues and dynasty leagues, like I've joined a couple of dynasty leagues, you don't just have to look for this year. So you wouldn't want a 30-year-old halfback as your first pick if he's only going to play two or three more seasons when... You've hypothetically signed on for the long haul.
Hold on, come on. We're trying to cover draft basics. And the first time we throw to you and you just go dynasty draft, which is just a whole new complex world.
Okay, we'll just stick with the other.
Let's just stick with classic draft for a sec, buddy, before we go explaining the concept of picking it years in advance. But if that's your thing, if you do like your dynasty draft, then make sure you check out our boy Ricky Rowdy Harrington over at Fig Jam Dynasty Draft.
Sorry. Go, keep going, you're talking.
Yeah, make sure you check out our boy Ricky over at Fig Jam Dynasty Draft. He does run Dynasty Draft Leagues, which will, you know, get you going through the... All right.
You throwing him.
What?
Okay, so drafting, yeah, like ideally you don't want to be pick 12. Like I was just pick 12 in a draft, and by the time it got to me... I had to start thinking where is it going to get thin first quickest, which was going to be hooker. Not many hookers, you know what I mean? To ideally pump out big points. Not many halves. There's probably really only three halves that you'll hang your hat on and say, right, well, they're the three best halfbacks. The rest of them are a tier down.
No, you got one, and then you got Daly and Hughes probably, and then you got the rest.
In a perfect world of draft, you'll lose, in my head, you'll probably lose a Turbo, a Nathan Cleary, then a Teddy, then probably a Pappenhausen, a Latrell, probably a David Fifita and a Munster. Then you're looking at some Angus Crichton.
Or Harry Grant, Brendan Smith.
Harry Grant, Brendan Smith. Now, there goes your top 12 dudes straight away. So that's not even on its way back to you yet. You know what I mean?
All right, hold on.
It's just one of the things you got to look deep into. Like, by the time it gets down to you again, yeah, you get your two picks, but where do you go with it? Do you then want to get stuck with the worst halfback in the comp or the worst hooker in the comp? These are things you got to, like, you can make it up in the second row. Like, granted, you're not going to get a David Fifita effort out of a Lukey or a Mitch Barnett or someone like that, but they're going to do a decent job if they get minutes and stuff like that. Like, doing a draft this early is probably no good if you're doing it for cash because you don't really know team lists and stuff. But if you're just doing it for fun with the boys and you just want to kill some time, it's good fun. Get on a Zoom chat and do a draft. You know, we did it.
That's my favourite part of it, just actually drafting a team.
But, yeah, like, what do you do? What's your strategy in what? Where are you going with your picks? Like, you hypothetically get first.
I had first pick in a couple. I went Nathan.
Yep. Oh, why? Why would you go Nathan?
Because he's so far ahead of the next best. So I can't see that gap closing, but I can see the other fullbacks closing on Turbo.
Yeah, yeah. So where did you end up getting? Where'd you go? Like, you went fullback next, obviously, when it came around. Did you snag a KP or someone like that? Or
I think I got a Brandon Smith, maybe.
Yeah. And then you get
another KP.
Pick. And then a KP, yeah.
I think that's how one of them planned out. Can't remember now.
Yeah, but that's where you went. You started filling up key positions.
Yeah, I always go for the spine first.
Your forwards and then... your backs you can interchange on match-ups, some of them. Like, yeah. Some of them by the end, you're littered with a bit of rubbish.
Like, if I was falling as about 7th or 8th or somewhere around that mid-range bit, and Dave Fifita was still there, I'd probably snap him up first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because how explosive he is. But apart from that, I'm going for the spine first.
Yeah. And you see, that's the same as me. I'll fill them roles as well. Like, you got to fill up your spine roles with at least people who can chug along with them, you know, with the key guys. Because you can sort of make it up elsewhere with stuff. And if you're quick on the waivers and if you're good with the free agencies and stuff like that, picking
definitely.
Matchups, like, that's another key thing to draft. And, like, you've really got to be on top of free agents and you've really got to be on top of waivers. Because I think some drafts, if you're coming last, you get first pick no matter what. So you get the first cherry off the cake every week, which was me last year. And a couple of boys were like, what the fuck? He gets it every week. It's because he's a loser. But he deserves it. But, yeah, that's just my take. Some people are different. Everyone's got a different draft strategy.
Well, that's it. You can just pick, say, your best. Say you run out of positions somewhere, like in a key position, like the hookers or whatever, and you don't get a gun. Well, mainly centre wing. You can run without one and just use the auto emergency on the bench and just have a star there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Right, what are we doing now?
Partner, well, I actually want to talk about Rick's top 25. So the fact that you went KP in round 3, Con, raises a good point because Rickster was saying that...
Now, his dynasty draft, this is different again.
Pardon? No. That was just a standard draft, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were saying that you ended up picking up KP in round 3, Brandon Smith round 2, and then you got Cleary in round 1 with your first choice pick. So I think no matter what pick you get, it's really important to just have a plan on when you are going to get crucial players or fill crucial positions and then having a list of sort of possibilities that you're actually happy to fill that with and then when you might be able to get them. That's the biggest thing which I've taken away from the way Rickster's been writing about some of these guys. But he's actually got a top 25. So you guys made it to 12, yeah? So you obviously did Nathan, Tommy, Pappy, Harry, Teddy. Yeah.
The most frustrating thing about that, having the list ready to go and everything, is... you get someone pre-booked there, and you wait like 8-9 picks or something, and nobody grabs him, and then the bloke before you just takes that pick right out from underneath your nose. Like,
oh. I'm normally that guy.
It can make you really cranky sometimes.
So, do you have to sometimes move that forward if that happens? Like, what do you do in that situation?
Panic.
Yeah?
Yeah, sometimes you know, you've got 60 seconds or whatever, and it's like, oh, shit.
See, this is where they
Which
say, have.
Do I need to go?
Have a plan, have a backup plan. Yeah. What are you actually trying to fill? You're not trying to fill as many as a classic team, are you?
You can have 12 player drafts or 17 players like a normal team. You can have 13 on the field, 7 reserves.
I see a lot of 12-12s going around. Or 12 and 14, man.
Comps, you mean?
Yeah, in terms of comps, but yeah.
Well, that's like, one where I think you only got 2 centres and 2 back rowers.
Yeah. All right. So we got to Payne Haas, To'o, TPJ. Do you have him on there?
See, I wouldn't have Payne Haas that high, personally.
No? You don't think he's just one of those picks that's going to get grabbed in one of those rounds? So if you want him
he normally does.
To fill that position?
He normally does, but last year, like, he did regress a couple of points. I'm not saying he will this year, but I don't think he's high, as high up the food chain as he was last year. He's still easy, if not a first, a second round pick to some people.
Still averaged 68 last year, and look, slightly better squad there. Hopefully, a bit more confidence. He's a big boy, and he's still only just sort of coming of age, so we still don't know what to expect out of him. I think he's still definitely got more in the tank. So I think there's still potential there, and 68 a week guaranteed. Is it worth
it? But then you got other front rowers that are 65 and that they're going to fall in the third, fourth round.
Yeah.
So to waste a pick on Payne Haas that early, I think.
What about TPJ? Would you go to that early on TPJ?
Dave Fifita would be the only forward I'd be jumping up in, probably in the top 10 for.
Yeah, so he's number 6 on the list. He's got TPJ at number 11. What about Reid Marnie? Where does he sit? I mean, is he your number 2 hooker for the season?
No, I've got Brennan Smith, Harry Grant as the two top ones.
Yeah.
And then probably Reid, Cook, McInnes on the next level below.
There you go. But so all of those are going to get picked up in, what, the first two or three rounds?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's it, as everyone starts trying to fill their spine.
Well, that's it. That can also be dictated to you by what other people are doing. If you see three hookers go in a row, you're getting in on a hooker on your next pick for sure.
Yeah. That's it. They're going hot this round.
Which then has to readjust your list. You go down one. You know what I mean?
Are you better off planning your list around
your list,
positions?
Your list.
Yeah, I think you definitely go positions. You have your top 5 or whatever, top 10, 15 even, you probably need.
There's also
and you just cross them off as they go and you just get that next one. Once you're down to 6th or 7th on your list, you start loading that position.
See,
I think.
On your list, you have to have a guy that you'll draw the fucking line at too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to roll in there with a, who's the worst halfback in the comp? Dearden. You don't want to roll in with a Dearden thinking, yeah, I'm sweet, you know? You fucked yourself. Waiting for a Tommy Dearden, you know? Sorry, but probably poor choice.
Like, or a Wade Egan or something.
There's somewhere
like
you've got to draw a line and say, well, I can't go under that player, so I need to snap him up then and there, or I'm in a bit of horrors. Like,
I think really for the first 4 rounds of draft picks, you really need to focus on filling, like you said, those spine positions as quickly as possible. You've just got to aim that I've got to get one of these guys per round. So do you stick? I mean, you can then prioritize perhaps by what guns are available, but being able to still being able to fill those positions. So you've got a pool of 30 to choose from, you know, which dwindles down to whatever it's going to be, the final position on round 4. But for me, that seems like the most logical strategy to try and get in with. But I didn't realize you had to have such a comprehensive list. Like, you're right, you're talking, you know, 12 positions on the field, 5-10 options for each of them, and then
at least 5-10 options, because you've already got 9 other people or 11 other people in the draft, plus you've got to pick multiple of those positions. So your list needs to be pretty extensive.
It's a big game to get your head around, but it is fun when you get there. It is fun.
Right, did I interrupt you doing a shout-out earlier because I'd zoned out and clicked back in the conversation?
Probably you.
No, I think so.
When you were talking about Dynasty. No, you just started talking about Dynasty on a tangent?
No, well, I just, like, said, like, if you do, sometimes if you're doing them drafts, because some of them are keeper leagues as well, sometimes you have to plan in for the future. Like, you don't want a bloke who's retiring next year in a team that you need next year.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's an even more advanced form of draft again.
Yeah.
So, but there are.
Just on that, if you don't have Nath Hughes or Chez, those top echelon ones, I'm banking on a 30-year-old Adam Reynolds or something before I'm going looking at the future with a CHT or Sexton. Tom Dearden or something like that.
I mean,
and I'm banking on those 2 or 3 years and then someone else to come through and develop and I'll snatch them up throughout that time.
If someone else is there. Yeah. That's the other thing. You've got to get on them before the other however many guys in the draft.
Yeah, I see. You'd want to be up to date with your reserve grade. Yeah. See who's coming through.
Yeah.
And that's where some of the blokes just leave you behind because they know so much more than you at draft.
So some people are just on another level, aren't they? Speaking of being on another level, check out.
Should I give some shout-outs? Because I have a list of podcasts and places to go for people who are keen for draft? Because, I don't know, we don't know enough about draft to say, hey, guys, we'll tell you how to do draft, but this list of people that I have could probably help you out, if you know what I mean. Now, obviously, the Fig Jammers, Rickster and the boys, they break down dynasty draft, so keeper leagues and stuff like that, looking for the future. Then there's the weekly rubdown. Then Three Wise Draftsmen, the Headbin, Best Draft something. Oh, I fully forgot that one. Oh, BDE, it's called BDE. Check that out. It's abbreviated B.D.E.
Big Draft Energy?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll just go with it. And then the Weekly Rubdown Boys with Watto. You all see him commenting every week. He's one of the boys that puts in the questions. He's a wicked dude. Watto and the boys have got a Weekly Rubdown Rub Lab on the Discord. So most of you are in Discord through the Supercoach Hub. So I suggest if you can do that, contact Watto. He'll give you a link. And it was called the Weekly Rubdown Rub Lab on the Discord. It's for drafters pretty much only. I don't know if they do classic, but drafters get there if you really want to look into your draft. And also to help you with your draft and just Supercoach in general, got nrlsupercoachstats.com, because you can, if you really want to look into some of these players that are a bit further down the list and there's not much on them, there's a good chance he's got something on them over there. And on the Supercoach360.com, www.supercoach360.com.
To the end of time, forever. Bergs and Con, Supercoach, forever. 1,000 times, forever. www.supercoach360.com, forever. Wow. Worst plug ever.
What happened?
The professionalism. I don't know, man. Ask yourself.
I think it's done right. You had a stroke.
I think the people around you've been asking for a while, buddy. They're
you just keep putting me
looking
on.
Looking for answers to.
You just keep putting me on.
We do. So we only got halfway through Rowdy's top 25. I want to know where you guys think these guys should be sitting. So Payne Haas, you didn't think. TPJ, you obviously wouldn't be putting in that realm either. Reed Marnie, Cody Walker, yeah?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Angus Crichton, second rower. Do you go him in the first two rounds?
Yeah.
Second rower.
I can see logic to it. But me personally, not.
Nah. Dally?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon Smith?
Yeah.
Jerome Hughes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Madison?
Not Maddo. I'd go IPAF and stuff like that. That's where I'd probably start thinking about taking the Payne Hustlers and TPJs, depending on what I've already got in my bank.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Damien Cook?
Yeah. Ooh. If the hookers were going hot.
Where do you guys rate Damien in terms of hookers this year?
Fifth-ish?
Fifth, 16?
I see him going up a notch this year, personally.
Yeah.
I hope he finds a bit better form.
Look into your crystal balls. Where do you see him finishing the year?
Way behind Harry.
Harry Smith, Marnie, McInnes.
You hate Damien Cook.
I don't hate Damien
Cook. You're a hater of Damien Cook. Cook, you would finish third or fourth for me.
No, I got him fifth or sixth.
Wow.
Third or fourth for me.
Cam Murray? Is he on Gus level?
If he starts playing 80.
So if you're picking your team tomorrow, no.
All right, Reece Walsh.
You might have even out-averaged Gus last year.
Reece Walsh, see, fullbacks. Fullbacks are a bit thin by now.
So then by the times you've termed, by the time you've tiered out all your fullbacks, where's Reece Walsh sitting for you? He'd have to be fifth or sixth, wouldn't he? So fullbacks start going hot.
Yeah. Turbo Teddy, Paps, Trill. I've got KP up there.
But then Reece Walsh becomes a consideration,
yeah,
right?
Then Walsh.
And then you're looking at
Walsh, Gutho.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I'd probably put him around the same point as Gutho. You never know. Both of them could go either way.
And then, you know who I like as a bit of a smoky this year, especially if Jackson Hastings didn't that go good? Fucking Dane Laurie.
I saw a picture of him earlier. I looked up at a picture of the Tigers and I was just like, I've forgotten about Dane Laurie.
Like I wanted to draft him the other week. Someone poached him from underneath me. I don't know who it was, but I just want him for reserve on the bench anyway. But
the rest of their team wasn't so bad.
He's a good footballer.
And we'd no Dewey in the team for the first half of the season either. he's going to be the pivotal point in
But if you've got the potential for somebody else to come back and push Hastings out or become a decent hooker for them, either of... not push Hastings out, push Brooks out, or become a decent hooker for him.
But they just don't have the forward pack to lay the platform for their players, other players to achieve their goals. They just I think they're really weak in the middle.
Yeah, see, I don't think they've got the backpack, even if they did, unfortunately, but...
Uto's all they got.
Yeah.
Lot's going to be riding
He's
on
only
a
20-year-old kid.
You know, it's the same thing. They get a couple of, like, disheartening moments, and it's hard for him to get back, you know, and especially if it's on him to do it, you know. He's just a kid.
Little Western Sydney Payne Haas, eh? All right, Cam McInnes in that list as well. Oh, well, yeah, KP, Reece Walsh, Cam McInnes.
Yeah, I like Cam McInnes because he's dual position.
And then he had Josh Curran in there, but I think he's gone cold on Josh Curran.
Perso the other day commented on your thing, and he seems to think trap.
Tom McInnes?
Yeah. Like can you set him just a reason why he's not a trap?
I just think, well, you've seen his work ethic in 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, his breakout season. And I think playing lock, running the ball as well a lot more, maybe even picking up some attacking stats with the ball playing through the middle. He'll still, if he gets to 65 to 80 minutes, he'll make his 50-odd tackles. So you're already starting at a pretty good point, better than most hookers.
I think Perso's concern might have been the fact that he was coming back from the knee injury.
Oh, you're definitely waiting and letting his price bottom out.
So you're not starting with McInnes?
No, I won't
be starting. In the draft scenario.
In the draft, yeah. But not in
a draft scenario.
Classic, yeah.
Not in classic. No, see, I think he was talking more in classic, but he was saying the same thing. Watch and act. So
yeah, that's right. Hopefully he gets eased back. Drops to around the 400-odd K mark, and you snap him up. Happy days.
Yeah, he'd be a great option at hooker. Well, that's it. I'm thinking about using him as a stepping stone.
Especially if you haven't gone a gun hooker to start with, and you banked on someone to hopefully have a breakout year, like I'm thinking about doing. You could just swap them straight out, pretty much.
Just have that breakout year. We've been waiting, eh? People are waiting.
I'm waiting for Jeremy Marshall King. I'm hoping he can be my breakout star.
Where are we at, Tuzzy?
Rick's got a few value picks in terms of draft for us, just before we move on from draft. So, Tino, where do you put Big Tino in terms of your round selection?
I've got him 6-ish, depending on how I've gone earlier, because his dual position is pretty highly valuable in draft.
Yeah.
Being able to rotate those players between positions when... You got bugger all to pick from. It helps a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fifth round, sixth round, I can see him going.
Yeah, that's it. Rex has got him fifth to sixth. Fifth to sixth. Zach Lomax, where would you put him?
So if you could jag him...
Yeah, you can get him late.
Yeah, if you jag him 8 or 9 or something, you'd be pretty happy with that,
yeah.
I reckon.
If someone's got a hard-on for him, buddy, he could go early. Shit.
Yeah. Well, if you're in there, the same supporter.
What's the earliest you'd go on him?
Me personally.
Imagine you're a 10? Dragons fan.
Yeah, again, if I was gonna
play with your head, not your heart.
Yeah, but you know what?
Some people just want players, you know, like, and he's a goal kicker. I could see him going as early as 6.
Ooh, all right.
Not for my team, but I could see him going as early as 6. You know.
All right, fair enough. I think Richter's got him round six, seven.
Speaking of Fig Jam, I'm on there Thursday night, so check their podcast out Friday. I'm going there, and hopefully Mitch has signed his contract as well. Going to meet Snoop together.
All right, Marty Tapau.
Whoa, way down, 10, 11. Nah.
Yeah, it's it. I mean, to be honest, I haven't heard mentioned much in classic circles this year.
He's just a chug along. There's a dozen of them, man.
Yeah, well, that's it. But
they're going to get 50-55 and do their job. And they're just dudes you can pick up late as.
They're a dime a dozen.
What's he, 13 points behind Payne Haas?
All right, Satili Tupanua.
Not a jewel, is he, Nat? Again, I see him going late as well.
Yeah, 7 or 8.
Is it second row? You generally got a couple of options there to fill, don't you?
There's heaps of them, yeah. But they go quick.
What are you trying to fill your bench with?
Jules halves.
Halves go quick. If you can snap up a semi-decent half, someone's going to need to trade you something.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's another ploy. If you can snap up someone who's very tradable, you might be able to muscle your way in on someone just a bit better.
Well, that's it. That's something you could do if you get like one of the early, the back-to-back picks. If your 10th pick, you just double up on the two best absolute weapons there and then use them as trade bargaining.
Yeah, bargaining power
later on.
Alrighty, got a couple more on this list. Dylan Edwards.
Nice.
Where's he reckon your fullback's?
Down the pecking order for me. 10th.
Yeah, he's fucking, yeah.
If he can get involved in those backline sweeps, he becomes a lot more attractive, but at the moment he just returns kickoffs.
Big Uto?
Yeah, I've got him right up there in my front row.
When you pick him up?
I've got him top five front rowers.
I'll pick him up 7 or 8. Just because...
If you can get him that late, I think you're doing really well.
Yeah, I still think you will. Not a lot of people from the internet saying, not all that many people sold on him.
See, I'd take him 5 or 6. As long as I had my spine done in those first 4 rounds.
Now, speaking of that, so what round do you start picking up the cheapy versions for the spine if you are taking the risks there, like your Chris Randalls or, you know, your Jeremy Marshall King or something like that?
Well, again, you'll probably be able to pick them up late, depending on who's looking at them. You know, if you could be the only person looking at, like, one's looking at Jeremy Marshall King by about 6 fucking people, mate.
Yeah.
You know, and
I got him about round 14 or 15, I think, in one of them.
It's one of them things, like, if you've got a sneaking suspicion, that old mate could have that same sneaking suspicion and go off his gut and think, oh, Con might think that, bang, I'm snapping him early, and then you're there, fuck, I had plans, and that throws your order out of whack again, like, but... It's one of them things, if you're the only one looking, then you can snap up quite a couple of people if you're the only one looking at them late. Like, it's one of those things.
Well, you see, even after the draft's done, you go back and have a look at the list, and you're like, I missed him. There's still there that you can pick up.
I think maybe that's not the factor. I think it's just because you had to get these other positions filled, so it's just he didn't matter at the time. Like, when you go back, you think, well, I've picked someone's shit up earlier for no reason. There's obviously a panic one or something like that.
Why isn't it loading?
Well, yeah, that happened to Jay. Like, Jay from the War Room, he was in our draft. Remember, auto-picked him.
Yeah.
He had him on good auto-picks, but he jagged Munster. He got heaps good ones. When I get an auto-pick, I get fucking duds.
Alrighty, moving on.
Yeah.
So, you want to do some shout-outs? For all the draft stuff?
I just did them.
Shout-out everyone's Discord.
Okay, let's do it again.
Shout-out the podcasts.
Fig Jam. I'll be there Thursday. So the podcast probably up Friday. Does Rick's to go live?
I'm not sure if he is this week. He might be with some of the drafts.
Then we got the Weekly Rubdown. Watto also has the Discord, so Weekly Rubdown Lab. Check that out on the Discord. Three Wise Draftsmen. The Headbin Podcast and the BDE. I didn't go up and check that out. Sorry. You know how I get. And then if you're really struggling when you get to some of these lower players before you do a draft, or you might be on a draft where you get a couple of hours between picks and everyone's on the ball, you can go and have a look on supercoachstats.com and have a look at their priors and if they might jag a start, and just try to do some math.
Well, that can help you big time, because say you can see a couple of potential centre wings coming through to start the year.
Yeah.
You can load up the rest of your team hoping, like Suwali or something, he's not going to go till really late in the draft, so can load up other positions before you worry about sneaking him in a bit later.
Yeah, that's the thing. You do have to load up on some positions and cut your losses elsewhere, you know? But that's up to your game plan and your strategy. Every one of them is different. That's why I've given you that list, because, let's be honest, the more opinions, the better for your drafting strategies, like if you hear so many different ones. Juzzy?
Levi Cruikshank wants to know how the draft positions are selected. So is it just random?
It comes down to the...
The starting order and stuff?
Yeah, random. The pick order is just random?
Well, not necessarily. It comes down to the administrator, doesn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just random.
All right, cool. Look, I'm just saying g'day to all the boys. There's a bunch of people out there. Luke Smith, Brad Smith.
Stop the press.
Mark Hindle's in there. Vowsy, Henry Brin, Georgie's in there. Scott Smith. I already said Scott Smith. No, it's another Smith. Yeah, it is. That's three. Bang. Lance George is in there as well. G'day to all the Smiths. Just call ourselves the Smiths. Jared Watto's in there as well. Glenn Fisher. Brod Thompson. He said he's drafted with you guys and you definitely need some practice. I mean, we're not doubting that. Ross Mann's in there. G'day, buddy. How you doing?
Let's go.
Alrighty. So, remember a couple of weeks ago, boys, we talked poison mids.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, this week, I want to put to you a few of the good mids that I've hit up the Brains Trust behind supercoach360.com, and I was like, hey, hit us up with some good mids. And this was who they gave me.
Who'd they give you, man?
First one off the rank, Isaac Targo.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If he gets a centre spot, yeah.
Under 300K. Let's see. It looks like he's going to get a starting centre spot. He's looking pretty deadly.
Okay. Let's throw the world on a flip side, but what if he gets bench second row? Would you still get him at under 300?
Probably not.
No? Okay.
If I was desperate enough, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So you're only picking up the Panthers 80-minute centre spot, which is
And that's only because of his price too.
Yeah.
If it was 400K, I wouldn't bother, but yeah, his price and what I have to do elsewhere in my team, I need it.
All right. So I've heard the early mail coming out of Parramatta. Sean Russell looks like he's going to pick up the spot left vacant by the Hayes-Dunster injury in the trial.
Haven't heard much about him, to be honest. If we remember, Fergo didn't really score much out there either. So it's one of them, it's a gamble. It is a gamble. Now you got a bloke that hasn't.
Let's be honest. I mean, Fergo got lots of attempts to score out there.
Whoever gets the left spot, because Sibbo's out for, I think, half the season. So yeah. Whoever scores that side, if they're
that within, priced right.
Within range, yeah, that'll be good to look at, I think.
All right. Bo Firma.
Yeah, I like him if he gets a starting spot and plays at least 65, 70 minutes.
So he's starting the back row?
Yeah.
Yep.
For Proctor.
All right, Ewan Aitken. I know you boys have been bigging up Ewan Aitken.
I'm getting colder on him.
Why?
Don't know. Right. Just because, you know what, everyone's on him, you know, and it's one of them things sometimes fucking everyone's on him.
Could go both ways,
you know, but... I don't know. If he's all I got, I'll put him there, but yeah. I'm really hoping I can get better.
I like him.
Where are you going to put him? Isn't he, Jewel?
Yeah, he'd be in the centres.
I think he averaged 60 in base and power last year and nearly a lot higher than that with his tries.
Yeah, that's
it. He scored a few.
I'll give you a sneaky spoiler. He did make it into my draft team, but in the centres, yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Katoni Staggs.
Yeah, I like him too.
I like Katoni.
Yeah? Think he's going to be a beneficiary of A-Ray?
Definitely.
Any word on the Haas partner at Broncos? I heard Billy Walters might have it sewn up.
Don't know why.
I've heard Ezra Mamm.
Yeah?
Young kid coming through. Yeah. I heard he's in front.
I heard Billy Walters in front today. I read somewhere today Billy Walters in front. But
that's when Daddy's coach, I guess.
Yeah. But supposedly Ezra Mamm's the future. So...
I'm up. Fingers crossed for Ezra.
All right. Xavier Coates. You're all still hot on Xavier.
I like him.
Yeah?
He's in the right team.
Yeah, definitely. Chris Randall. Well, I think everyone's starting with him at this point. Jackson Hastings.
Yeah, I've got him too. I like him.
Especially while Dewey's out for, 10 rounds, is he? Or 9 rounds?
Yeah.
Where you got him? Reserve half, reserve 5'8"?
5'8" for me.
Just straight 5'8"?
I think I just updated him to straight 5'8" yesterday.
Really? Taking a chance on the Tigers' attack. All right, you boys do you.
He's 350K, man.
But yeah, I know.
And it got me Nath too, so what I lose out there, I'm hoping I'll make up with Nath.
Yeah, well, see, that's it. I had to drop Nath. I had to drop Nath to Jerome Hughes. Anyway, we'll get to our draft teams in a bit. Tau Tau and Mono.
Not sold.
If he plays a six for the Dragons, yes, I know he's cheap and stuff, but at least you can't see him producing great scores in that team.
It was the 10 words you said before. If he plays six for the Dragons, it was about six words.
Seven.
Dragons are shit.
Count it on his fingers, still got one wrong.
Dragons are shit. Sorry, Dragon supporters, but...
Suwali?
Yeah, I like Suwali if he gets a wing spot.
All right, Helium Lukey.
He was a spot on Suwali.
Yeah, I like Lukey.
If Lukey starts, absolutely.
Yeah, so what's the criteria for him?
Left side.
Starting left side, front row. No, or is he getting the edge?
He'll be second row.
No, what's his Davies price there?
350 something. I got him in my side. He's 350.
So even if he can push out 60 minutes on the edge at 350.
He's 351-500.
He'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
If he can go at a point a minute.
Matt Lodge, you feeling him?
I don't mind Lodge.
Yeah?
I think there's a few...
Is there a bit of a logjam for forwards at the Warriors? Or is this always the case? And I'm just... Like, what happens? Do they just inevitably get suspended?
Mainly back rows, I think. They're stacked in.
So Lodge is going to play front row. AFB's going to play front row. Who else they got?
You got Bunty Afoa.
Yeah.
Ben Murdoch-Masilla.
Jazz
plays in the middle. Bailey Siren can play in the middle. Tohu's out for half a year, so there's some minutes available.
Yeah.
Which I heard Katoa's in front, the partner Aiken.
All right.
And I heard Karen's going to play 13.
Katoa running off SJ could be a sneaky pod.
Yeah, that's it. There just seems to be a bit of uncertainty there with who is actually locking down those spots. And I'm worried about that. Exactly that. And that's my concern there with going the forwards over there. Lindsay Collins.
Like him.
Not for me.
No, why not?
Coming back from a big injury. But I like him. He pushed Will Hargraves to the bench. Chugs along in about 60. He's good.
Yeah. Hamasai. The hammer.
I'm on the feeds. He's looking big. He's fast. I'm on Fidzy. I'm on him.
Another one that's unfortunate circumstances because their team. I just don't see the Cowboys competing very good this year. So
could you not see him being like a sneaky for like centre wing?
Nah,
not in our team.
No. For me, Glenn's golden rules are high ceiling clubs generate revenue in high ceiling clubs, especially if you're going for attacking points. Yeah,
what if you're on the side that doesn't attack? Like, most of those dudes, if they've... Well, especially if they're in there from last year.
Are you telling me to get Fidzy in the centres for base? Is that what you're trying to say?
No,
look down the camera and say it. Tell our people.
No, I'm not. Yeah, there you go. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you can't afford all the people from the high-ceiling clubs. Like, you have to make some sacrifices.
Of course you do. But, I mean, you know, even if you can, try and make the sacrifices in the high-ceiling clubs as much as possible.
You can, but if you wanted to pod on with Fidzy, I wouldn't say no, eh?
I mean, that's what's putting me off Hastings as well, is that fact that, I mean, there's already that issue of, well, do you go club loyalty and Dewey when he gets back, or does Hastings have to fight for his spot, or is Hastings maybe going to do garbage and then get pulled when Dewey comes back, and that's plan is
my,
as well.
My prediction is Brooks will go and Hastings and Dewey will be the halves.
Right. Rocco Berry, is he going to lock down the centre spot for the Warriors?
He looked good. He looked good against Melbourne the other day.
Rickster was loving it, but I know Rickster loves the Warriors.
I think he looked really good in defence, more than attack, which unfortunately doesn't translate to Supercoach points.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't like the Warriors.
What's his price? Doesn't matter if you haven't got it.
Yeah, I think the Warriors won't be in the eight this year, so...
Whether what, just scrape by, or they're just not even in contention.
322 for Rocco.
You can see him around the 9th to 12th ish kind of range.
Yeah. Alright, so on Cobbo.
Yeah, I like Cobbo, especially if he gets full back spot. Even the wing spot, I'll probably jump on.
I'll jump on even if he's on the wing, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's the big question going around Brisbane, is who's going to lock down these spots. Where's Tessie New going to play? Because I've seen Tessie New popping up in a lot of lists as well.
Well, he's injured. He's done a hamstring, I think. He's at least 4 to 6 weeks away.
Yeah.
Oh. So
he's missing for the opening 2 rounds.
So I think give Cobbo time to cement that fullback spot.
They've got the trials this week. I think David Mead was named at fullback, maybe. Well, Cobbo's still on the wing.
I heard talks too that Parramatta are trying to loan Jermaine Asako. So that could put a stop to that Sean Russell thing too, if that goes through.
I have heard some things about Asako at Parramatta, and then when I checked the app today, he's still listed as being with Brisbane.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I wasn't sure what's going on there.
Approaching the situation after the trial on the weekend. So.
Well, he's a Dolphin, Asako.
Yeah, in 2023.
Brisbane really...
Yeah,
might as well cut your losses and get something back on your salary cap for it.
Well, that's it. And start thinking and preparing for the future anyway, the inevitable. All right. Okay. Ooh, that's juicy. I mean, is that juicy or is Asako a trap even if he goes to Parramatta? I feel like he's a trap no matter what.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be touching Asako, but it just ruined people's cheapie because he'll probably get one wing spot, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Moving on. We've got a couple left. Liam Martin in second row. Panthers, 400 and something.
I don't like it.
Why not?
Because I went back and had a look through a few of his games last year. Even in 80 minutes, he was punching out 40s and 42s and things. So if you're playing 80 minutes in the back row, I want at least 60, and then plus your attacking stats on top.
All right. Fair enough. Lolo.
I want to see something first. Something's changed.
Put the front row. 55 minutes, 60 minutes in the front row, have him.
I don't think his jersey number matters. He's going to play the same minutes in the same role, 8, 10, 13. It's not going to change him. And yeah, I just don't think any party's happy there in that situation. I don't think he's happy being there. I think they want to fork out his $1 million a year anymore.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's not his fault.
No, absolutely not. But I think fresh start on both parts would rejuvenate.
But who's picking up the rest of that?
I was about to say, yeah, because, yeah, you want a fresh start, you better pay out his old contract because daddy still wants his money.
That's what I mean. It's a tough situation.
And finally, on our list of good mids, Jai Arrow. Under 500K, if he locks down 80-minute edge...
Yeah, if you can get 80 minutes on the edge, I'll probably jump on Joy.
He's got to play the full 80 on the edge?
He's got to play the full 80 for me, yeah. He's not the workhorse he was at the Titans. If you remember him at the Titans, he used to come on and he'd tackle his ass off. But I don't know, now he just got a bit older. He's probably realised you don't have to chase the ball. There's a line there. Someone else will tackle that dude. So I don't know. His work rate dropped off for me. But I'll still look at him if he gets 80 minutes.
No, he's playing in a much better team now, so he doesn't have to chase everything. You think, I have to do it all myself.
I think that's the same issue with Liam Martin, right? It's the fact that he was in a decent team last year and they weren't doing too bad most of the time. They were doing a lot of defence because that's what their game was based around, and then it was just like, oh, Nathan, line break off, back force dropouts, or, you know, out to the wing, line break off the back of force dropouts. Like, they've got a style. So... Yeah. Yeah. All righty, cool. Next question for me then is, what's your plan for Turbo? It seems to me it's the biggest question of the season. When are you going to get him in? How long do you wait? I floated the idea earlier of waiting until Origin or after Origin 1. And Bergs, what did you say?
Nah, you're mad.
Yeah? You're crazy. 100%.
Yeah. I did. But he's seen merit.
I think it's going to be dictated by him.
So,
If he goes low, I think they got Melbourne and Penrith in week 2 and 3. If he can go sub 80 or whatever there against those two, hopefully, by the time round 6, 7 comes, he'll be ripe for the picking, or as ripe as he's going to get anyway. Because it's not like you're going to get him at 650K at any part of the season or anything like that. Outrageous.
No, but that's it. So what is the lowest you can expect? What's the minimum budget that you need for Turbo?
I think as low as you'll get will be, about 859.
Yeah?
Yeah, I reckon, 859.
So a mil with interest, really.
Yeah, it's a big ask. But for me, in my draft side at the moment, I have him.
You do?
I do. I have him in my draft, like my
side. Your classic side.
Together, yeah, my classic side.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. You get down to the bottom of Berg's team and then tucked on the bench. look who it is. Little Trbojevic playing fullback for the Manly Sea Eagles. Well, who is this? I nearly dropped a brick. Right?
Yeah.
I could not believe it. And the audacity to put him on the bench over Teddy.
Yeah. Well, Captain Teddy, because I thought everyone would look at Teddy. No, I'm just going to look at that. I think, oh, fucking, he's done real shit with his money.
Yeah. To be honest, I was starting to think that as we got a little bit down parts of your team, and I was just like, oh, wait a minute. Alrighty. So you're starting with Turbo.
Oh, he's in my side. My side is very shit with... This is the side, just quickly. I've got Cook, Pangai, Jacob Saifidi, because I heard he's starting over Clemmer, David Fifita, dude from Melbourne, Okolatu. I can't say.
From Manly or Melbourne?
Manly.
Olakuatu?
Olakuatu, that's it.
Oh, the Manly Storm. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I said Manly.
No, you didn't.
No, I did not. Oh, then I got Lukey, Mitch Moses, Sean Johnson. Which
yuck.
I'll change Sean Johnson for Hastings. I did that, but it didn't save, obviously. Then I got Aikens, which I obviously swapped Aikens and Stags around as well at this point. Billy Smith, Suwali. Now, Moga, I'm tossing up between Moga and bloody Suli. One of them will get a centre spot there, I think. Just a matter of which one. And then
surely Suli gets it.
Then I've got James Tedesco, and then really only one person on my bench we want to talk about, which is Trbojevic.
Nah, let's go through the rest of your bench. Let's figure out how you managed to afford this.
Hobolati, Cartwright, Amone, Ezra Mann, Blake Taff, that Mimosa from... He's meant to get a start, yeah. Tepoa Moroa, Scott Sorensen, Sione Fainu, and Young Maney. And Kobe Heverington is my bench.
All right, Con. First thoughts? Yuck?
Yeah.
Just straight yuck. All right.
It's terrible.
If you're going to sacrifice like that if you want to get Turbo. And did you say Dave Fifita as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know how you afforded it. When you told me that.
That's a bit greedy. But...
I was like 20%, really. Wow, 20%.
And yeah. Teddy.
I had to drop
it. Yeah, well, that's your three players and you're at what? $3 million almost.
Yeah, like it's a big, and the rest is just shit.
All right.
Like, no offense to those guys. Sorry, guys.
So I'm going to start from the forwards and move my way down. Tom Starling, starting hooker. Chris Randall on the bench.
Tom Starling's right to go and start the season at number 9 and Hodgson's wearing 13.
Right,
I think Elliot might get, unfortunately, or even if Hodgson's bench utility that comes on as that roving middle forward, I like Starling.
Right, I think
a lot has to go his way.
I think he's about earned his spot there, but yeah, it's just a question of the loyalty aspect of Ricky and what happens with Hodgson. So I'm taking a gamble. I'm hoping to see Tom Starling get a few more minutes, especially in the trials of starting hooker, and see Hodgson be used in a different role within the team. For the front row, I got AFB at Lindsay Collins. And then on the bench, I got Spencer Lanew and George Burgess.
What's Lindsay Collins worth?
460.
Isn't Big Stefano around that price?
Possibly.
I'd easily be making that swap.
All right.
That's you.
I'll consider it.
I'm just saying.
I'll consider it. I probably won't. Second row forwards, I got TPJ, Olakuatu, Jai Arrow. And then on the bench, I've got Tepoa Moroa, Kobe Heatherington, and Jack Kaczewski.
What's Jack Kaczewski worth?
That'd be free.
250. Really?
Yeah. He's the average part of a bad bunch.
All right. I don't know. I need a place older there. I'm really hoping.
But yeah, he's just a place taker.
I'm hoping some cheapies come through, to be honest. In the halfback, I got Jerome Hughes and then Chanel Harris-Tavita. My concern with him is I don't know what role he's going to take up in that Warriors side. I think he's earned himself a spot, but is he going to end up playing centre or wing or something?
I wouldn't touch him unless he's probably starting hooker, playing big minutes.
Well, see, I'm hoping now for starting hooker. I know I called you crazy. I did. But the more I think about it, the more it's like,
it's not going to happen, I don't think.
It won't happen.
I think wishful. I can see him probably as the 14 until Nicarima has a fuck up and then switch him over.
Yeah.
Or SJ breaks down.
Right, well, then that puts me in a bit of a pickle. In the 5'8", I've got Luke Keary and Billy Walters if he's going to lock down that spot over Mam. Otherwise, I'll probably swap to Mam.
Well, that's it. And if CHT, Chanel doesn't start, you just go to the starting halfback for the Rabbitohs and use that money elsewhere to upgrade.
Yeah. Well, I'm concerned with the Rabbitohs, whether that they're going to test out a few combinations as they go throughout the season, depending on results. So that's a watching act for me. I'm a little bit sketchy there. I mean, I know Brisbane's capable of doing the same thing, but I mean, they did it for 12 months last year, so he's hoping they've got their shit together. In the centres, Ewan Aitken, Katoni Stagg, Xavier Coates, and I've got Will Pinnacini. On the bench, Kieran, Targo, and Suwali.
That's almost identical to mine.
Yeah.
I think I don't have Keegan. I've got someone else.
Well, it's him or Momo. It's whoever locks down that spot, but I'm not actually sure I can afford Momo. I think Momo's about 100K more. And then fullback, I've got Teddy Papi. Now, I know Papi's obviously, there's concerns around him not starting round one. Trell apparently now back round two.
Yeah, that brings Trell straight into my team.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Drop me that.
I think I definitely start taking a look at Trell. I'm real sweet on him if he's goal kicking over at South.
Absolutely.
All right, who's your draft team? You got one off the top of your head or over you?
Centres are pretty much identical to you. At the moment, I have KP and Teddy at fullback, but that's going to change to Latrell. And then I have Jackson Hastings and Ezra Mam in the 5'8 spot. And I've got Nathan Hillius from South in a halfback spot. And then
Hooker?
Hooker is, I think, Randall and Starling at the moment.
Oh.
Front row is Utawa Kamanu. And he's criticised that for a minute. I've lost it.
Okay, yeah. So that's where he's at. Who are your fullbacks again?
Teddy Trell.
Trell. See, Trell's only missing a week now.
Yeah, well, I think I'm with him and I'm going straight to Trell. It's a gamble of whether you start the season with Trell or Puppy.
The thing is, if you're going to start with a couple of these dudes in the key positions like Harry Grant, you're waiting a week anyway. He's a week away. Brennan Smith's a week away.
Munster's
a week away.
Yeah.
Some of the key dudes for those particular positions are a week away.
Nath could be a week away, could start. Who knows? I think he's leaning more towards starting the season now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so it's one of them things. Do you hold off? Do you hold off and maybe what? Because you still get the two free looks. So you could be able to get a price rise somewhere. Like, granted, it's probably not going to be worth a trade sort of price rise, though, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So do you hold off on one of them and maybe push to pick them up around five, or will they just chug along and score and keep their points and go up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you reckon?
I don't know.
What do you reckon?
What's the question?
I don't know.
Wow, good work, boys. Leave the show in your capable hands for 30 seconds.
I don't know where he went with
people
that.
At home, what it was.
What was the question, people at home?
Yeah, but my front row is Tino and Utawa Kamanu.
Oh, Tino.
Yeah, just because of the dual capabilities. We've Brandon Smith, Pengai, Olakuatu, Jai Arrow, Bully Moore, and Piakura in the back row.
Where's Piakura?
Brisbane. I think he's suspended for a week or two to start the season. Then I'm hoping he can push for that starting edge spot.
Over?
Ricky, probably.
Or Rabadi.
Yeah, okay. There's a few in the mix.
Right, fair enough. Cool. So that is our draft teams.
Yeah.
How much do you reckon they're going to change before TLT? I reckon heaps.
Probably about 63% of it.
63% of it?
Oh, fucking whole thing. Except for maybe Turbo or Teddy.
All right, fair enough.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Brad Smith has been doing some stuff for us over at supercoach360.com. If you haven't checked out supercoach360.com, it's heaps of articles and write-ups on Supercoach and different tips and tricks and strategies and from a bunch of the people who we talked to on last week's show. But he's been doing some more stuff on PPM. He watched the trials over the weekend and he crunched some of the numbers with some of the awesome dudes from Supercoach Live Chat who... Supercoach Live Chat?
Yeah, why not? What's that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Supercoach Live Chat. That do the live Supercoach scoring. I believe they crunched some potential Supercoach numbers over the weekend and Brad's done a little thing for us today. So we're going to go to that.
Good evening, Juzzy. Good evening, lads. Hope everyone's well and you've all had a fun time watching some great footy over the weekend. It was pretty good to see a lot of football back. Just here tonight, just have a quick chat about some of the stars that shone out during the seven games that I managed to get to watch. There's one yet to go, I think, and... I didn't get to see all of that one. But anyway, if anybody's interested, I have put an article up on supercoach360.com. If you haven't been to the site, supercoach360.com, it is the place for all your information. There it is right there. Lots of great articles from Timo, Glenn. Bergs has got a stack of great articles in there. Just for some light reading. So go to supercoach360.com and get into it. It's all great fun. The first player we want to have a look at tonight is this bloke, Matt Lodge. I've never really liked him much myself, but his figures over the weekend can't really be that ignored. He didn't play a full game, only played 40 minutes. Managed to get a Supercoach score of around about 65. That's when you take into account, you know, he's actually, 65, about 100 run metres, 3 tackle busts, and 1 line break to boot. So he did pretty well for himself. He did put up an outstanding score. I mean, that's for 40 minutes too. So if you take that over a, 60-minute game, he's going to get very close to 100, about a PPM of 1.2. You know, certainly a player that we can't, that you should put on your watch list or even maybe even consider if you're looking for a super pod for round one. The next player we want to have a look at is this kid, Tyrrell Sloan. Now, for some reason, Coach Griffin decided to start him on the wing and start Ramsey at fullback. Well, I think anybody that saw the game, everyone will agree that that's just not going to happen come round one. Well, it shouldn't happen, that Sloan will be the fullback. Every time, when he did move to fullback, every time he touched the ball, he looked electric. He was active, he was really involved, and if ever a player is going to pass the eye test in Supercoach, it was this kid. You know, he did look good. It's just a pity he plays for the Dragons, of course, but at another team, he'd certainly be a lock nearly first round. Probably one point to make is that when you're looking at him versus Katoni Staggs, I'd be very tempted, if you're going Katoni Staggs, maybe give this kid some thought over Katoni Staggs, because between the two of them, the figures look a lot healthier for young Tyrrell, and I think he really did shine, and I think we'll see a lot more out of him as the season goes on. Probably the last player I want to mention, and this comes as no surprise to anyone, is the Tom Terrific Turbo. Tommy, he went gangbusters for 40 minutes. He had something like, if I just read off my sheet here, he had one line break, two tackle busts, two try assists, for an estimated Supercoach score of, I think, 65. Of course, at 65, that'll, you know, it gives him, if he played 80 minutes, around about 130. Tom normally goes better in the back end of the second half anyway. So he's going to go very close to his sort of average of around 140, 150 points if you go by that. So the big question for all super coaches, and the big question for you boys there on the panel, given the fact that Tommy could very easily looks like he's going to hit 140, what do you do? Are you going to start with Tommy or are you not? Particularly if he's going to keep up that sort of form. And he does look good. It's a quandary I'm wondering about myself, wondering, if Paps doesn't start, do I somehow find a way to get rid of Pappenhausen, put Tommy in, etc.? But his figures from the weekend, I mean, I think he was scoring himself at about 1.2 PPM. And it, like I said, if he does that in a normal NRL game, he's not going to drop much coin. And he'd be one that you really want to get in your team. Anyway, that's about it from me. As I said, make your way over, all listeners, to supercoach360.com. Great website, and it's free. Tell your mates all about it. Jump on board. And until next week, until next time, thanks very much, boys, and have a great evening.
All right, thank you very much to Brad Smith there for putting that together. What a legend.
You're the man, Brad.
Thank you very much, buddy. So, boys, he asked you a question. Bergs, I mean, you've pretty much already answered this, I mean, especially with your draft at the moment, but we've seen what you've had to do to achieve that, which is you've really got to make some heavy sacrifices. But with a PPM of, I think might have been closer to 1.5 if he pumped out 60 in 40 minutes the other day, but still, that's mighty impressive.
Oh, the bloke's a freak, man. He really is. He's the key. He's the key to all their attack, virtually. Like, can attack from anywhere on the park too. Like, proved it last year. He's got long range tries in him still. Look.
If anything, he's gotten better. He's gotten faster, and he's ready to run all game now.
In a perfect world, at this point, I'd love to. At this point, I might get rid of Teddy and keep Turbo.
Who do you put in as a cheapie? Because I got laughed out of the park for commenting on a Whisperer post about Xavier Savage the other day. Just like, mate, if you're going to shoot him down, why put him up as an option for someone to get?
Yeah, I don't know what that guy's doing. I beat him last year in the Hammy's Cup. We all know what happens when I beat you. That's fucked.
Yeah.
Akon, you'd remember such times as last season.
That's right, Troy.
Rough.
But, yeah, look, at the end of the day, whoever's cheap enough to run in there and get at least some decent points to turn over. You've seen the team. I could probably do better with a bit of time spent on it. Like, let's be real. But it's a big ask to try to slot them two in there.
If their average, if you take their averages from last year, your second fullback really only needs to score 30 points. And if Tommy hits his 140 average, which I don't think will happen, but if he hits his average from last season, well, then you're already in front of Teddy and Pups or whatever.
Yeah, but if their combined average climb, then Turbo's got to keep up with it.
Well, that's it, and Turbo drops, so
yeah, exactly.
It's risky.
So if you are going to do that then, if you are going to run that risk, if that's a way that you're going to be able to squeeze him into your side without having to make too many compromises, who's the option? Who do you actually put in at fullback?
I'd have a look at That Sloan.
He's still 460 or something, isn't he?
Still fucking 400,000, 300,000 cheaper than the other two.
It's true.
It's still a massive, massive... That's a massive gamble. Like you said, they don't have points in them.
And then what else you have to do is, later on in the season, you have to find, what, $500,000 possibly to upgrade to a Teddy or a Pups for your run home. That's a lot of money to find.
Well, with the boost, that's easy anyhow, but...
It is, but still, it's...
Yeah, it's possible, especially when you get to nothing season, but... Right, that's it. It's a question of where do you find that cash. At some point throughout the season, you're going to have to find, yeah, at least $500,000-$600,000 ultimately to do those upgrades.
And then if you don't start with Nath, you have to find money for him.
Yeah.
If you don't start with Dave Fafita, you have to find money for him. Like,
just due to the lack of cheapies that I know about at this point, I ended up having to drop Nath to be able to cover for getting people like, you know, Billy Walters and just spreading that money, that little bit more to be able to get those 250K players instead of the 180K, 185s. Oh, man, it is rough this season. Some of these players are so expensive, and actually trying to put the jigsaw together of your side is just, oh, it's a menace. Still in my head, and I've only tried to do it once or twice.
No, yeah, just steer clear.
Yeah.
Still TLT.
Alrighty, so I think that is about it for what we had to talk about. We've just got a few questions. So, Bergs, have you got the questions on the Facebook there?
No.
All right, hold on. I think I might have them.
I have ones on Twitter.
All right, sweet as.
It's only the one. Oh, what's going on? From Toddy G. No Pappy, Cleary, Munster or Grant for round one. Surely it's starting to make Tommy / Teddy combo even more appealing. Also thoughts on Moses at halfback. With the Eels' decent draw and Cleary potentially missing for a week or more.
Has he been looking at your team?
Let's hope not for his sake.
Well, that's exactly what you're running. Moses at halfback, Teddy Pup, Teddy Turbo.
Yeah, but I'm not sold on Mitch Moses. You know, he's got the low floor.
I wouldn't be sold on Mitch Moses either.
But, yeah, I didn't mind Toby Sexton the other day.
Yeah, turning the corner, eh?
Oh, look, I don't know if I'm on him. I'll probably watch again this week. But a couple of, like, older football heads sort of rate him, you know, and if normally they're not too far off the money.
Well, so, are they the same ones that said Luke Brooks is the next Andrew Johns?
I hope not. I don't, because you know I don't remember much. Juzzy, what do you got over there? Oh, wait, did we answer that? I've got Moses at halfback, not sold on Moses, but in saying that, does have potential there to get a bit of a roll on, especially early, as they tend to do, the Eels. I do have him there because of their draw. Their draw is pretty kind, the first opening rounds.
It usually is.
So, yeah, I really have looked at Mitch Moses. It is a toss-up if I can keep him, But yeah, I'd love to start with Tommy. Love to start with the Teddy Tommy combo. But in a real world, fuck, it hurts the rest of your side so bad.
That's it. I just couldn't spread the rest of the wealth far enough to start with Tommy.
I can see him having to drop at least 30 off his average in the first 10 rounds, like, or over the first 10 rounds.
Who, Tommy?
Yeah, he's got to. He's 110, I can see him being able to maintain, but unless there's heaps more points on offer again this year, I mean, I just can't see him being able to maintain 145 average. That was insane last year. He had to get his team to the finals. I mean, this year it's supposed to be about the team, no doubt. I don't know, but he's a freak, so let's see what happens in the best way. He's an absolute beast. Brad Smith says, has Saxy been to a dress fitting yet? Bergs, your bride-to-be?
I don't know, Melbourne back in lockdown yet. You know, Dean Andrews just pulls me out of his ass.
No, they took the mask off today, mate. They're back to normal.
So lockdown next week. Saxy probably won't get to his refitting.
All right, Brian Ings, it says, with the increased potential for late COVID outs this year, should we put greater value on Jules and teams who play a lot of early games, i.e. South, Broncos, Panthers, so you can sub or trade players?
Yeah, well, that's the strategy. I think you said the other week is to make sure they're playing and put them in your side early, if you know what I mean. So you've got the bench there to fuck around with later. So if you if they're definitely playing on the Friday, they're best being in your side.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I
just get the points on the board in case the weekend goes upside down.
Well, no, not the points on the board, so to speak, but if they're going to be your reserve anyway, like no doubt about it, they're going to be reserve, then put them on the park. Because if COVID or something does strike and then he's already played, you can't move it around. There's nothing you can do.
If you end up with two of your starters or three of your starters ruled out from COVID early and you've still got three bench players sitting there unplayed, killing yourself.
Yeah, and especially if you've reserved one that's played Friday night when you could have just had him on the park because he's going to be playing in your side anyway. Unless it's your captain, you wouldn't leave your captain on the bench, clearly. But if you've got players in your reserves, they might be your shooter players, but just for the save the headache, if you haven't him played and then he's on your bench, there's nothing you can do. You can't pull his score. You can't pull his score off the bench and swap him with, say Angus Crichton got COVID.
Yeah, but you're starting all the early players on the field, and as the weekend progresses, you have them on your bench.
Yeah, that's probably your best COVID plan.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and then save your trades obviously throughout the rolling lockout to get them in just before their game, so you know they're locked in to play, and you're not going to get a late COVID 3 hours before the game, and you've used your trades before.
Well, I think you're allowed to reverse up until
lockout. Yeah, you can now, as long as... Well, it depends if they've played the Thursday game. If the dude you've traded has played the Thursday game, you're locked out of reversing that trade.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a bit of gamble in it. But that is going to help the cause heaps. Like, yeah, you can do that now. Reverse the trade. Like remember, I remember last year everyone brought in Tohu and then he just got struck down. And it was like, fuck, people like, I think Dan and a couple of other people brought him in that week and he didn't even play. And there was no news until an hour before.
Or people didn't trade out Maddo. You could have reverse traded out Maddo. And
there's, heaps of things that could have went a lot better with that tactic.
Alrighty. Jared Watson, who do we think partners Daniel Saifidi in the front row? Is it Clemmer or Jacob?
You know, I've seen a report about Jacob. I'd like Jacob.
I'd like Clemmer, just so he keep that Saifidi momentum going. Once Daniel's off, Jacob comes on and just keeps carrying on.
Yeah.
Well, he's took his game to the next level, Jacob. I rate him.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, he's in your side.
Yeah, he's...
So what do you do if he doesn't get the starting spot and he's coming off the bench? You still have him as your starting front row?
Look, in the past, like, I know it's a massive gamble, but if they're sharing those minutes equally, I can see him doing just as good a job as the other two. And if he's coming on when other people are tired, I think he might have that odd better attacking stat rather than the first 10-15 minutes of the game when everyone's still a bit fresh and defensively sound. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. All right. He's got appeal to me. He's just got appeal. He's not just to come on and do a job for 15-minute man like he was 2-3 years back. He's coming on and he's taking his game. It's his game. And he comes on and he does a wonderful job.
Yeah, he's probably up there with Clemmer now, or if not surpassed Clemmer now, not far behind his brother.
Alrighty. Luke Smith says, how are you guys planning for COVID? Are you planning for enough or two? Seeing the late withdrawals in the Raiders trial scared me a little, so maybe squad depth might be more important than early points. So pretty much you're going to go with enough, so early points and options for covering for COVID. I mean, how do you cover for COVID? Because you just sort of hope it doesn't strike down your guns or, you know, your cheapies or anything. At least if it strikes down a cheapie, there's a chance it's going to affect everyone, but yeah, I mean, your mids and your pods and stuff like that, but you've got no control over it. It's a crazy variable. All you can do is try and stay on top of the news, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult year. The winner of this year should get fucking 100 grand.
What, they get the Holy Grail, Have you seen what you get?
No.
You get a little trophy. You get a little Holy Grail trophy, a little Supercoach Holy Grail.
Fucking Tim Moody spewing, you get one.
Yeah, right? Shout out, Timmy. How you doing, buddy?
Timmy.
Barry McCormick. Well, this is part two of his question, but I haven't seen part one.
Did we answer Lukey's? Probably.
I think we kind of answered the COVID situation a bit earlier, but yeah, I think he's got a good point there. We go on squad depth.
Well, I'm going. Well, I went for 25. I didn't go a single enough, and it was hard to do.
Well,
but,
that's it.
I mean, ultimately, I was going to save maybe 150 grand by going a couple enoughs. If a couple of bargain basement cheapies come along and I can flip placeholders to cheapies, I'll do that. I'll try and spend that 100 grand and do an upgrade on someone. But yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at, Pendentel T, because yeah, no, I can't afford, I don't think I can afford enoughs.
No, well, you can't, because if you don't have the, if you got three enoughs or something to start the season with on the bench, it's going to cost you trades early. If COVID does strike your team.
Yeah, that's it, to move them out and get people in that are playing at the last minute. I mean, it'll be a straight swap, dollar for dollar.
Yeah, but
yeah, that
it's costing you a trade to replace maybe a 20-point loss if you have someone actually playing on the bench.
Yeah. Whereas if I have one of my 250 to 350 players go down, I make back 130, 140, 150 grand. Just bang, 160 even. Maybe more. I'm bad at math. But the point is, I get that straight in my bank to then be able to use in an upgrade, especially if I use a boost that week to just get the move done. I'm excited for this season because of that. Like, that's going to help out people like me that aren't the best forward planners. I'm going to be able to react to situations as they pop up, and I think it's going to be important. I put a post up the other day, and someone commented on it, 42 trades, you don't need to worry about saving them. You're not going to worry about anything. It's like, oh, I reckon you're going to, COVID's going to affect more teams than you expect throughout this year.
Yeah, I don't know why they just didn't agree to a bubble again. No, I don't think they are.
Nah, I'm pretty sure they're not. They've got sort of protocols where only a few of them are allowed out in public places together, but even then, you know, they're like, they'll find ways around that sort of stuff. Not bring the party to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it. They're not going to be locked up. They've been locked up for 2 years like the rest of us. They're over it, so what do you do? Bowsy.
On a Vaughan,
he's getting paid 600 grand a year, cheaper.
He says, hey, champions, thoughts on Alex Johnson as a gun center? I like the look of Jake Clifford as a backup 5/8 or half. Changed my mind. Keep up the good work, you good motherfuckers.
Yeah, boy. Not a fan of Jake Clifford.
Well, I mean, Gon's the Knights fan and laughed at it, so that worries me.
I wasn't laughing at it. I was laughing at it, that he, I thought he said he was looking at Jake Clifford but changed his mind.
No, we've got to change his mind.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's asking us to change his mind because he's seriously looking at Jake Clifford.
I think Clune's a better option than Clifford. And he's, yeah. I wouldn't recommend you Clune either.
No, I wouldn't recommend either of them, to be fair.
Are Declan Casey going to pick up a spot at the Bulldogs?
Well, surely Ockenball's not getting a spot.
No, he's useless.
Man. He refuses to stay on his wing. Just rushes in and does nothing.
That Casey kid, well, hardened defence. Decent read too, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think that automatically puts him in front of Ockenball for me.
Yeah. I just love watching KP get flattened. It was brilliant.
Hey, he's up on KP bashing.
Did you shit a brick for a second? When he went down, you were just like, oh, this would be a rough injury for the trials.
Nah, yeah, he's tough.
And then he got back up and you were like, yeah, good, you'll be right.
He's tough.
It's only a tackle, Russ.
Yeah.
That was 2 more weeks.
It was a decent
A lot of times, those spectacular ones don't hurt as much as the unspectacular ones.
Yeah, because they're not expecting
it. It's that bone jar, the one that bone jars you, he just stops you dead. You run 100 mile an hour, you stop dead. Virtually slide down a dude. Yeah, it's fucked.
It is when you say it like that, yeah. Chris McCullen says, guns or depth? I'm trying for depth. Oh, he's got his team there. We'll go through that later. Ado says, who do you lads like out of Curran, Maddo or TPJ?
TPJ,
because
of the jewel.
Yeah, well, that's why I've gone him. It's why I put him in my team.
And
high price point, though. But, I mean, compared to the other two, it's around the same, isn't it?
Yeah, they're the same-ish.
They all have injury suspension concerns.
Yeah, definitely. And so, we did see a little bit of angry in TPJ the other day, a little bit of aggro.
Probably Maddo's the only one guaranteed 80 out of the three.
Yeah.
Don't know what's happening with Curran.
Yeah, rumour has it he's going to play 13 and his average is down when he's playing 13. So.
Yeah, well, he got quite a few attacking stats playing on the edge last year, which really inflated his score.
Yeah, but yeah, people are saying if he gets 13, he's probably a wait till Tohu comes back and they put him back out on an edge. But then who's that affect? Does that affect Aiken or does that affect Katoa? Because there's a lot of boys wanting minutes there.
Yeah, there's a lot of water pass under the bridge by then. You can judge that on form.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah, but I mean, it does come into your decision-making process, especially when it comes to costing you a trade later in the season or having him maybe not made as much money and then getting stuck in there, because I've got one of those every year. Every good year. Leash Tetley, who to replace Dunster?
It'll be old mate, but I think Dunster was like 200, like he was semi-dear, wasn't he? Like over 250.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been.
If you haven't got a Suwali, I'd be looking at a Suwali.
Targo.
Targo. Yeah, there's a couple.
Panasini.
Panasini played some decent footy.
Amone, if you like.
Yeah, he's a gamble though, Amone.
Oh, yeah, big time.
He's a big gamble.
Bradley Baxter says, Walker, Hines or Sexton as halfback if I can't afford Cleary to start the season. Oh, man, none of them ideally, personally. I think they're all a gamble.
I'm not even sold Sammy Walker gets a start. Big adjustments for Nico, but I think he's up for the challenge, to be honest.
I was talking to a guy the other day, and a guy reckons he's right on Sammy Walker, reckons he's going to be a breakout this year. If anything, it's going to be enhanced by Keary coming back and the Roosters being at full strength.
But does he get the start? Like, is he assured the start?
What do you reckon, Con? Does he get the start?
I've probably got Drew Hutchison in front of him.
You got Hutcho in front of him as well. What, because he punctured a lung for the club?
No, because he big body in defence.
It's true. Sammy's got that attack and flair, though.
Yeah, that Keary can produce that. Teddy can produce that.
If Joey Marnie,
if you can get another back row, pretty much body type in your defensive line on your try line as a half, I think that helps a lot.
All right, fair enough. So who's your call then?
And another thing, like we said in an earlier podcast, if he hasn't added more strings to his bow, he's predictable.
Hines or Sexton then?
Oh,
if those are the options for the price point they're working with. Yeah, Nico, exactly. Nico, see, exactly.
Nico's $200,000 more than Toby Sexton.
Yeah, and Nico's in a new club coming off fullback scores. I don't know if I trust that. Mind you, he might be a value pod if he starts finding some form later in the year, but I've also heard whispers that he's going to partner with Moylan.
See, I'd probably go Moses overbay for them.
Yeah.
Or even A-Ray overbay for them. I don't like any of them. But
no, that's it. I wouldn't want to end up with any of those guys unless I was playing a draft. And even then, want's a strong word.
Yeah, it's only a three-person choice, I think, at halfback.
Cleary, Chez, Jerome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And yeah,
Cleary could be a smoky.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's it. So, I mean, so could Cody, especially if he has to step up and take the attack.
Well, you
attack
can only
south,
get Cody at six.
Yeah.
So that's...
Oh, it's Kiri's a jewel, so yeah, that's Kiri, another valuable thing about him.
And SJ, you guys just steer clear completely of SJ?
I want to see how it goes.
I love SJ, but yeah, he's a fucking liability, man.
I considered it the other day, man, when I was putting my draft together. I was just like, mate, 450 for a halfback. Oh, he's happy. He's doing good over there. And I was just like, nah, I can't trust that.
Yeah, no, he's very...
The game day factor, can't do it. Like the liability to be pulled out on game day and then you lose your halfback score, which could be one of the highest scores, you know, which you're up against in your head-to-heads, especially that week. If you're up against Cleary or something like that, nah, I can't afford that.
And just with him losing that yard, probably 3 yards of pace now, he's just not so dangerous running the ball. He's all about setting it up.
Yeah, which doesn't necessarily translate.
No, that's it. I like him when he wants to take on the line.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. So, starting with Toto, pros and cons from Jakob Demag. I don't know.
Well, you've got a keeper straight away in your centre wing.
Expensive, though. How expensive is he?
But if he's averaging the same as what his price is, I guess. Well, then, unless you see him regressing severely.
736, man. That's halfback money. That's David Fifita money.
Yeah, well, unless you see him regressing, he's priced at that to start the season for a reason.
I don't see him regressing. Not if Naif comes back round one. For me, he's priced where he's at. He if anyone, can go up.
Well, that's it. You know his base isn't going to drop. It just depends on how his scoring attacking stats fluctuate, if they go up or down.
Because his work rate's there. What's he, 25 to 30 hit-ups a game?
Yeah.
Over 300 metres for some games. Fucking massive work rate on the dude.
And he ducks tackles, breaks tackles. He's good for that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, if you can free up the cash, you're in front if you start with Brian Toto. Yeah, in the centre wing.
I feel like you're sacrificing Cleary, you're sacrificing Defi, you're sacrificing possibly even two gun fullbacks. You'd almost definitely Turbo. You know, you're making some major concessions, because I'd like to see a team which looks good with, you know, those sort of options as well as Toto. He's just so expensive to start the season.
And it's probably the most volatile position for money changing too.
Well, especially
if he goes on a dry spell for a month.
If Penrith decide they want to start trying to attack more down the right and sharpen up their right side because their left side's decent, then, yeah, that's it. Toto could be in trouble. I mean, the beauty of Toto is he does those kick returns.
He picks up those hit-ups.
So yeah, exactly.
58, I think.
He's that guy. Yeah. Like, let's be real.
Same reason Mansour was, man, because he does the kick returns. He does that work. He's a worker.
He's so far in front of any other one. Yeah. Like, so far in front. Like, I don't know, man. If I could have the money to get him, I'd have him.
Yeah, sure. Got the money to get him. It's just whether you choose to spend it that way or not.
No, I don't.
The money's there for you to buy him, mate.
Well, he's not, though, because I'd much rather the Tommy the Turbo or the
DP. But you do have the money available to get him. You're just not willing to spend it.
Not in that area, no.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Barry McCormick, his question was actually, is it viable to start Turbo, Teddy, Cleary and Defi? I just don't think it is. How much does that add up to? I think I'll work it out.
Surely you got to have a team enough after that.
It's nearly 30-40% of your salary cap on four players. You've still got, 80% of your team to fill.
You're looking at about $3.5 million there.
You're also looking at 400 points a week.
Yeah, but then if you got to sacrifice 50-60s for all these players and go to 30s, maybe 40s on a good day.
See, they add up pretty quick too.
Yeah, it's not
especially when you got to do it all over the park and you miss out on all those guys that do jag the attacking stats.
I really don't think that's possible.
In those positions. Yeah, look, I can't do it.
You won't be competitive for one.
To be honest, I can afford one, maybe two if you're talking two halfbacks. Although, if I was, to downgrade a halfback, a fullback. But nah, I really don't think you can.
I think you can take two, maybe, out of those four.
Yeah, I think your team's crazy having Defi and Teddy Turbo. I think even having three of them's crazy, but if you can manage to make it work, good on you.
That's it. If the cheapies turn up and the middies land in the right spot, it could be justifiable.
Yeah, that's it. You might be able to make the puzzle fit, but at the moment I can't see a way to do it without. You got to pick two, in my opinion.
What, two out of those four or just...
Yeah, two out of those four. And you can have any two out of those four, really, and still make it work. Although, Turbo Cleary is the hardest one to make work because you're giving up a lot of cash. Turbo's obviously the hardest individual to get in. Cleary being second, but personally,
is it? 2.2 million for those two dudes?
Close to it, yeah.
That's a lot of coin, man.
That's it. You're starting to get to a quarter of your salary cap. You're not far off it. You're one midi.
But in realistic world, that's how it goes. You got your fucking 10 dudes there on 100.
I mean, look, they're both marquee players for their clubs, and they are that for a reason, but it's a lot for your Supercoach season. Yeah. Well, like, the difference is clubs have years to build and extract value out of their players. We have to do it on an annual basis, starting from ABC and, you know what I mean, getting to the end. So the start of the season is all about getting value and building value, and I think spending a quarter of your salary cap on two players, 10% of your players, you know, is crazy.
Yeah. Where we at?
That's about it.
Okay, I got a quick one. Just a quick one. Just now, if anyone else can answer this, send me a message so I can send this to Mark. Now, Mark Hindle sent me a message asking, what's the key to the long game in making it to the top 1,000? Like, in your opinion, like, I know there's so much involved, but can you sort of give him some pointers in what way to go about getting there?
I think buy planning's massive for it.
Yep.
Saving your trades.
Yep. Well, he's having a think. You got any over there?
And probably starting with as many as your dream team as possible. Who you want to finish with? Yep. Working around there.
What's the long game? That's it. Build money, and then just as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to do the Origin thing for round one, for the first buy rounds. But then by the time you get in the second buy rounds, every trade should be building to that dream team, and yeah, starting with as many as possible. I'm looking to try and get about 9 in. Although, to be honest, when I did look at and build my team, I actually haven't checked off how many I've got off my dream team in there. So, yeah, I've definitely got to go back and do that.
I've probably got 3.
Yeah. I might be able to quickly go back now.
Best advice I can give you is planning, man. Like, you're planning. Like, I know planning comes undone very quick. You do some planning. Check out some podcasts. Ask around. You've seen the dudes that have been up there the last couple of years, maybe around the traps. Maybe ask some questions in the group. What other people's opinions are. I wouldn't take everyone's opinion to heart. I'd just take what I could from everyone's opinion and go with the best information I could at hand. But it's going to come down to you crunching a lot of numbers and doing a lot of planning. Brad Smith, I know, plans up to 8 trades in front, you know, and that's something myself can't wrap my head around getting that far in front. I can think 3-4, but up to 8 trades in front is a massive thing, and he seems to have a plan, and he's consistently up there. So it works for him, and that comes from a lot of hard work and putting in effort in his own time. Like, he listens to all the podcasts. He's got his head wrapped around Super Coach, you know, and that's up to you to then sort of do that in your own time and at your own pace as well, because not everyone's can do it and has the time to do it, but you've got to find your way to get into it and just work what's best for you, and then the rest of it's luck, bro. And if you're unlucky like me, shit, you'll be 30,000, spend the rest of the year trying to chase it up like I do. Like, that's the basic start to the last 3 or 4 of my seasons, except for one where we went on a bit of a tear as a podcast. And yeah, other than that, good luck, man. It's all about the luck.
How many of my dream team do you reckon I got in my draft side?
2, 4.
8.
8. Either the rest of your team's terrible, or your dream's terrible.
Rough. No, because there's a few options in there.
Well, that's right. And you put like 14 dudes in it.
No. But don't get me wrong. I've got the lower end of my team.
He's got all.
I don't have
halves.
All the high end guns. I've got a lot of the lower end ones. But that being said, like, we're talking people like Kiri, TPJ, Teddy, Trell, or Puffy, whichever one I run with. You know what I mean? Like, so we're not talking garbage.
Mm.
But yeah, 8 in total. So that's not a bad start. I've got to chase Cleary. I've got to chase Defi. I've got to chase Turbo. So, I mean, that might be a viable position that a lot of super coaches are actually starting their season with this year, is not being able to start with any of those three and having to pick up other people instead. So, I mean, they're for formidable targets to chase down, you know, 3 biggest guns in the positions that they're in.
Absolutely.
Can I do it? Only time will tell.
Yeah, it's a rough year.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of, like, thinking this year to start well, I think.
Come on, Tommy Starling.
We done?
Lock down that number 9. Yeah, I think we are.
All right, let me just quickly run through the list of draft again. If anyone missed it earlier, there's draft podcasts. Fig Jam Rowdy does write-ups with us on the supercoach360.com website.
www.
Do you have to use an AU or any?
No,
360.com.
Sweet.
supercoach360.com.
Then there is the 3 Wise Draftmen. The Headbin Podcast, BDE, still didn't look it up, do your own research. And the Weekly Rubdown has a Rub Lab on the Discord. So if you're already on the Discord with Supercoach Harb and all the good people over there, I suggest you find the Discord or find Jared Watson in the groups or around. He's part of our group, so if you really want, I'll sort something out on the podcast page with him. And yeah, also just want to thank all the people that have seeded me and Con into their leagues, like the THC and the Pod. Oh, it's the Podmasters Cup and stuff now. Massive effort from you guys. I sort of like realize how much work goes into what yous do. That's a massive effort. So, cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Alrighty, yeah. So check out supercoach360.com. What have I done with the group codes? Join the Podmasters group, a public league where you get to play against all the podcasters in one place. Day, Junior.
This is the public league one.
Yes, this is the public league one that definitely wasn't created at all because Berg stuffed up on the podcast the week before. Had nothing to do with that. I promise you. Thank the man. 104397 for that one. 104397. And of course, the Supercoach 360 group code 790873. Make sure you also check out NRL Supercoach Tragics on Facebook and YouTube. Make sure you look for us. We're breaking down the podcast into little manageable bad sized pieces for you all on YouTube, section by section. So yeah, look for that. Supercoach360 on YouTube. You can find us everywhere you find your podcasts. If you want to win the Supercoach Championship ring, we're not going to, I mean, look, send us the shout outs, right? I'll get you a ring if you send me a shout out straight up, right? You get me a shout out, I'll send you a ring. I'll figure it out.
Be 20 cent one out there, fucking
yeah. I didn't say which one it was. Leave us a Facebook review. Best Facebook review goes into the draw to win the ring. When do you want to give it out?
I think just anything related to social media, whether it's
It's too hard to track. End of the year. I need something tangible.
Good all year. Bring your friends. Best ride up wins.
All right. Best review throughout the year. Facebook review. So review us on Facebook. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/supercoach360.
We can come up with something better.
All righty. Yeah, big ups to Rowdy Rick Harrington with the Fig Jam podcast.
See you Thursday, Rowdy.
All the boys in the Supercoach Mitch. Live chat, Discord.
Hopefully Tom.
What was it?
Footy.
Weekly Rubdown.
Weekly Rubdown, Rub Lab, Discord.
The Rub Lab's the part that gets me.
There's nothing better than Rub Lab.
The Rub Lab sounds like a milking factory for men. And, I mean, look, it very well may be. You guys do what you got to do. Yeah. That's about it from all of us here at Supercoach 360. What an odd note to end on, but that's how people usually feel about meeting me.
Milking factory.
Yeah. Anyway, what else is a Rub Lab? Anyway, we'll see you next week.
See you, peeps.
Peace. It's a Discord group.